If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, the one life in which we live and move and have our being. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Our seminar topic is Overcoming Fear by Training and Directing the Mind. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the light from your pure soul that is you to flood down into your mind and feel that silent benediction as the mind is filled with the truth, the awareness, the understanding of that which is greater. Just as the soul is the reflection of the I Am Presence, so the mind is as a reflection of divine understanding, which sometimes is called the Buddhi, B-U-D-H-I, which is a higher level of the mind. But it's also vijnana. It is that instrument of higher wisdom. It is the conveyor, as it were, of the understanding and the light and the purpose of the soul as it floods through the mind into the brain, illumines the awareness of the consciousness field that we inhabit, and then floods the human personality with that which is greater. So the personality is like a little shadow disporting itself in time-space. I like to call it a little data probe. It picks up data and transmits it back to headquarters. It's on a field trip. It's picking up data about time, space, polarity, differentiation, and all of that. So the mind is meant to serve as the eye of the soul, conveying illumined vision and higher understanding to its human personality. So just be aware of that sequential downloading of divine wisdom that is always taking place according to our preparedness to serve the function that has been divinely designed to serve. The mind must be purified, trained, and directed. The mind itself is simply the conglomerate of desire, wishes, things that we like and dislike, our opinions, our beliefs, our indoctrinations. It's not a solid thing. It is a conglomerate of bits and pieces of information that we have picked up and identified with at some point, which forms its own little realm, its own little body, if you will, but it dissolves and is absorbed into the higher mind, the divine Buddhi, or the mind that was in Christ Jesus would be a more Christian way of defining it. It dissolves into that higher mind as it is purified and trained to serve the purposes of the soul. The purpose of the soul is to convey divine love and light into creation. And in that, it is a wonderful, wonderful tool. The mind is an excellent servant, but a very, very horrid master. So you want to train the mind to serve you as soul. You want to train it to serve God as the I am that I am presence. And so I want us to look very carefully at what keeps us from being completely at one with our purpose as soul, which is to simply be the love and the light that is. And when we look at it, we find it is simply fear. So let's take a deep breath and ask that the Divine Spirit bring forward whatever each one of you needs to see tonight and needs to release into the love that is the truth of us all. Everything is made of the warp and woof of divine love. Everything. Only the mind, sometimes out of its own contrariness, takes the path in which it completely identifies with separation. And wherever there is a sense of separation, there's going to be fear. The two come together. So I want you to look, and it takes courage to do this. I want you to look and identify the fears that come up for you. Many people are afraid to look because they don't believe there's an answer that can address and alleviate their fears. But I assure you, there is. There's not one fear that you can bring up that the ancient wisdom teachings will not reveal to you to be its root cause and an illusion. So remember, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. So fear immediately lets you know that you're looking at something that has no divine reality. It comes from the ignorance and delusion of the mind. So let's look at fear. And as you do, the very looking properly done, as we're doing right now, begins to pop those little thought forms like soap bubbles. You don't have to fix the fear because it's like trying to fix your shadow. It's not real. But to bring it forward into conscious awareness is essential for it to be cleared by grace. And that's a God thing. That's that divine spirit doing for you what it knows you need for your highest good, but will only do it for you if you ask, if you offer it, because you're given free will. So as the fears come up, thank them, because everything serves us ultimately, and just see them being released to the Lord. Let them go. Let's release them to Jesus, because he has given this teaching very strongly in A Course in Miracles. And he's particularly interested in setting you free from illusion and returning the mind to sanity. That's it. Good. And just keep doing that. Identify the specific fear and release it to the Lord. I take it, Lord, and give me faith. So we were in an interview with Sai Baba, and one of the women in the interview said, "Baba, I have a lot of fear." And Baba said, "Fear? Where is fear? Fear has no form. Have faith. Then where is fear?" So he always spoke very, very simply in revealing the illusions that we operate under. Jesus, in A Course in Miracles, gave several lessons in which he said that we are never upset for the reason we think. We are upset because we see a meaningless world. And a meaningless world engenders fear. But God did not create a meaningless world. Beyond the world we dream we see is a world illumined with heaven's loveliness. So we're upset because the mind has convinced us that we live in a meaningless world. A world that's separate from God, from each other, and thus we feel anxious and fearful, because nothing that we see with our physical eyes makes much sense. So only God and God's love and God's perfect creation is real. That would be including you. And the mind has made up everything else and projected it upon the blank screen of creation. And so it's the mind that needs to be corrected and trained to serve the soul. Sai Baba said that fear is mental weakness and that we must face it and overcome it by faith. You know, one of the statements in the Bible is, I believe the most quoted directive in the whole Bible, somebody said that it was repeated 777 times, that we're told in the Bible to fear not. There's a scene when the fishermen were out in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was seen walking upon the waters toward them. And Peter was so thrilled to see his master, he got out of the boat without thinking twice and started walking on the water to the master. And he was doing just fine, as long as he kept his focus and his attention on Jesus. However, at one point, he looked at his circumstances instead of Jesus, and he immediately started to sink. And Jesus, of course, rescued him, but chided him, saying, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So the lesson here is that when we keep our faith firmly focused upon the Lord rather than our circumstances, we can do what otherwise might seem to be impossible. Steadfast faith elicits divine resources not otherwise available, and miracles can happen. So consider steadfast faith, sahana, it's called in Sanskrit, sahana, which is also inner courage, inner strength. It's the power of the soul rising up within you. Do you have it? If you do, you know exactly what we're sharing to be true. And if not, why not use your next challenging situation to try exercising your faith? The Divine Spirit's track record, which I can certainly attest to, of faithfulness is truly amazing. So there's been countless examples of people who have done absolutely extraordinarily, seemingly impossible things because they had to in a certain situation, like a mother, for example, lifting a car off of her child that had been trapped underneath. I mean, there's so many. So your very faith in the power of God is what evokes it into dire situations and often causes them to simply vanish. So never underestimate the power of steadfast faith. Never underestimate the power of prayer and of simply releasing situations into the light for the highest good. We mentioned that when we were with Sai Baba, and he said, the highest good is God. And another teaching in the Course of Miracles is that our will and God's will are one. We don't have separate wills. There's only one will, and that is the will we share with God for the highest good. So, oh, what a release that is when you just let it go into the light. Then you know whatever was for the best, that a way will be found within that light for that to manifest. And until you've done that, sometimes that opportunity or that probability is not activated. So release situations into the light for the highest good. You don't have to even pray about them any further, but find a way to let them go to God and let God work them out. Baba often reminded us, why do you worry about these things? Give your problems to me. I will handle them. Give your problems to me, he has said many times. Let me be bothered with them. Your job is to keep your focus on God and the repetition of his holy names. Many times he told devotees who were in, real dire straits back in America, that while they were there with him, to not think about their problems, but just repeat the name of God. And sure enough, when they would come back home to America, their problem would have just resolved. And there was nothing at all the person had to do. So never underestimate the power of the name of God to, as Baba said, absolutely dissolve mountains of sin, mountains of problems, mountains of mental craziness. We need to use spiritual tools because only they are going to solve the problems that we face. There are no material, physical, psychological, self-help, mental gyrations that are going to do it for you. Only partnering with the divine that dwells in you and operates through you as you is going to end problems, worry, fear, and anxiety. So by leaving the outcome up to the divine spirit, you set yourself free from further concern about it. You have faith that it will be handled, and the outcome will be the best possible for all concerned. When you tell the ego mind to go sit in the corner, that God has this handled, it's a huge relief all around, because who enjoys living in fear, uncertainty, and dread? The reason so many lives are dominated by fear is mainly due to a lack of poor mental management. It's bad habits that we just let run us. Because everybody has the ability to manage their mind, to keep the mind focused in a positive direction by giving it clear directives. We all have the strength. We all have that ability. By not allowing the mind to run its habitual patterns unchecked. See, many, many people believe the mind is who they are. They believe the thoughts are their thoughts. They don't realize it's a collective stream that we all share. And we get drawn into similar thought patterns, that's all. But it's not our thoughts. They're just thoughts flowing like a collective river. So you need the mind to obey you, and you need to train it like a dog to sit, stay, be quiet, calm down, etc. Very, very clear directives. Now is not the time to think about that. We're eating right now, or we're sleeping right now, or we're watching TV right now. Now is not the time to worry. We have turned that over to God. You have to talk to the mind like that. So the mind and emotions must be trained to serve the soul's purpose of commutating love and light into creation. And you can train yourself to build in that quality of joy, which is the characteristic of a personality which is consciously awakened in the soul realm. That's how you can tell when you're consciously awakened in the soul realm, is that you have that quality of inner joy, a deep inner peace that nothing on the outer touches. It's like the agitation on the surface of the ocean. And a person living deeply immersed in soul awareness doesn't even notice. So joy is a soul quality that is realized in the mind when aligned with the soul. So that's the work that we can do, is to cultivate that soul joy, to learn how to dive deep beneath whatever is agitating you and look at it through the eye of the soul. The masters refer to joy as a special wisdom. So demonstrate happiness in your workplace, in your family, before your children, in your social dealings. And teach by example the freedom, safety, and security of a soul-centered life. Now make it a habit. Smiling. Now smile at yourself in the mirror when you get up in the morning. Smile when you sit and meditate. Smile so that your whole body is filled with light, because a smile is a demonstration that the face makes of the presence of God. Happiness is union with God. So there's no need to be so serious about the passing events of daily life. Go happily along the lighted way, in the light of the soul that you are. And be at peace with the fact that all things in the material realm are in continual flux and change. Everything that is but you, the divine soul, which is permanent. Excuse me. Now, the example, the classic example, is that you're like the sun, and the passing experiences in the material psychic realms are like the passing of clouds before the face of the sun. Doesn't affect the sun at all. Nor, in reality, does the passing parade of karma dramas and time-space affect you at all. We have to get that laid back, impersonal, witnessing self to just let it watch the parade. But no, it's just the parade. It's just phenomena, just working out of consciousness stuff. Let it go. So everything, every relationship, every personal possession is only for a time and a season. So while something is in your life, enjoy. Enjoy it. Enjoy the time you have with your loved ones. And when it's time for that relationship, that person, that experience, that cycle to pass from your life, bless it and let it go its way, because there's others lined up behind it. There's new relationships. There's new experiences. There's new cycles. Why keep repeating the same thing? Why not have new and more expansive experiences with your life? Live life loosely. What is yours will find its way to you. What is not meant for you is not going to stay with you, no matter how much you might want it to. So live loosely. Live easily. Cling to no one and no thing. Your only permanent possession, your only solid rock upon which to stand, is your own immortal divinity, your own God self. So your inner happiness, joy, and serenity increase as your assurance develops in your own divine place and part in the divine plan. So it's important to know that you have a divinely appointed place, and a place that is part of the divine plan that belongs to you and your particular vibratory resonance of consciousness alone. You're always in the right place. And you can't get lost. You can think you're lost. You can imagine you're lost. You can fear you're lost. There's no way you can be lost. You're part of God. God doesn't get lost. You're an incarnation of God. How could you ever get lost? So as you contemplate your own ongoing, ever-unfolding life, within the many mansions and realms and universes of an open-ended creation in which you live and move and have your being in that one life, you find an ever-present joy begins to tingle and thrill you, and it's a never-failing source of joy whenever you remember that. So remember it. And at the same time, cultivate an indifference. That spiritual indifference which pays no undue attention to the physical body and the personal self and all of its shenanigans. The Buddhists would call it cease self-cherishing. In other words, get your mind off yourself. God will take care of you. Be about the Lord's business to bring light and love and understanding and happiness to others. If you do that, God will pay attention to your own happiness, your own light, your own understanding, your own love. So we're here to make others happy. And the more we do that, the happier we become. Because notice how free and happy you are whenever you forget your physical body, which is almost never. But sometimes when you meditate or you're really into your artistic expression or your music or whatever it is, making love, whatever, you completely forget your physical body. Yeah, even when you're making love. It's a transcendental state that you go into, which transcends the body. You go into a rapture of a state of self-bestowal and sharing and loving that completely takes you out of the realm of the physical body with all of its pains and difficulties, all of its passing moods and feelings. And you lose sight of your monkey mind with all of its worries and fears and concerns. You know? So do more of that. Many of us spend much too much time where we're not involved actively in our life. We're sitting passively. Or we're working automatically. Or we're so caught up in the rat race and trying to meet the demands and expectations of everything and everyone that we lose track of who we are and what we are and why we are, and we're just being driven from event to event to event. That's not living. So we need to find a life, the life, that is the living presence that we truly are. We need to govern our time management. We need to learn to set boundaries. We need to communicate to people who would have us running constantly to fulfill their agendas that we're not here to do that. Many of us sell our time and our energy simply for a paycheck. That is too dear a price to pay for fulfilling your divine purpose, which you can fulfill in any type of employment. But you have to learn to establish your boundaries and know when you're being taken advantage of. You have to be aware that you're here to live your life, not to meet the demands of anybody else or their expectations. And sometimes you have to be very direct in stating that. It's the nature of the lower self, the ego, to get as much as it possibly can by giving as little as it possibly can. It's nature. It's selfish. It's greedy. It's all about me and mine. So don't allow your ego or anybody else's to call the shots in your life. So bliss, ananda, is really living in your own bliss body, above the mundane conditions. And yes, you train yourself, first of all, to resonate happiness, which as the soul energy begins to get down into your mind and into your physical life, begins to resonate as joy. And gradually you create and build that connection with the ananda kosha, the bliss body. And once you truly live, the impersonal self, in satchitananda, as we often speak of. So the indifference we're speaking of is maintaining a neutral attitude toward the not-self, the fictitious, limited ego, sense of self. And it's a matter of allowing things that don't really matter to pass by or through you without sticking to you. They only stick if you have an issue with that particular thing. And that would be then karma that you would need to work out. So you just keep being centered in that higher witnessing self and gradually bringing the mind to attention and to servitude of your divine self. What does it matter? Leave it to God. Let go. Things hurt when they're trying to get away from you and you keep clinging them. Let things go that want to go. So we will learn that not one single thing that produces any reaction, pain, or distress in our emotional nature or body matters in the very least. Nothing, no reactions of the lower self matter in the very least. That is all part of the petty little ego that has to be relinquished as we integrate soul awareness. So thus we learn to live free and detached from the things of this world, detached to the passing, while spiritually sensitive and responsive to the impulses of the soul, which is always to selfless love and service. One key to recognizing the difference between the impulses of the ego and the impulses of the soul is that there is never any urgency in the soul's directive. There is never any sense of a push or a rush or a hurry, for soul lives in timeless perfection within the eternal now, seeing everything as right, perfect, and divine. Well, that's a big, big key. The soul knows no such thing as a crisis, or an emergency, or a mishap, or an accident. Everything serves the soul's unfoldment and is right and proper. So people might ask, well, what about disease? Disease always comes from wrong use of energy, misalignment with the soul, karmic conditions, and whatever they are, you learn to accept the situation, and if you can cure it or make it better, you do so. And if you can't, again, you release it into the light for the highest good, because it's serving a purpose you don't know. What about death? To the soul, there's no such thing as death. There is only a shift to a different vibration, a different state of life. There is no death. What about the various outcomes in life? All of these things are due to one's own self-elected path. Now, that path could be soul contracts that are made with individuals before birth and agreements, or after, you know, when you have served certain purposes, you can renegotiate and form new contracts and agreements. They have to do many times the outcomes and the directions in life for learning purposes, growth, to gain new experience, new perspective, new awareness. And sometimes the outcomes are due to lack of effort and steadfast willingness to do what one needs to do. Well, sometimes there is a, oh, just not enough exertion of the willingness to make the necessary effort. That mastering certain things in your life require, we do not live passively. When it comes to outer activity, we have a passive, centered perspective, but we really get involved with our lives, and we work what is there to be worked the best we know how. So soul is the interface between spirit through the mind and into the personality in time-space. But remember this, nothing ever happens that one has not agreed to experience. That's really important. Prior to incarnation in most cases, but not always. And all that, although that is not known at a conscious level, because then we're free as to how we will choose to handle the situation when it does arise. So we wouldn't want to know the whole thing beforehand. I mean, there would be no growth, no learning, no freedom to, you know, take a different approach. So it's purposeful that you don't remember. Excuse me. So consider from the viewpoint of one's true self, the soul, everything is perfect and useful just as it shows up, regardless of how that appears. And you are never given anything that you're not already equipped to handle. However, the ability to handle arises when the state appears. So often we worry that we won't be able to handle a situation because it hasn't even manifested, it hasn't even come forward. And the problem and the solution always come back to back. The ability to handle whatever it is arrive at the same time. So important to remember that. That we're given always what we need here and now. It's always at hand. We could not possibly have a need right now. Right now, it's always the anxiety of what might be. And often we tend to look at what might be in terms of lack. So just know that you're always able to handle here and now. Now here's a big key. Anticipation is what causes anxiety and a present sense of insecurity. Anticipation. Oh my gosh, does that hover as a sense of foreboding and disquietude? Because usually we tend to anticipate in terms of fear. So watch when anticipation is causing you anxiety and causing you to feel a sense of insecurity right here and now. People don't even consider that because for most people, they live in that state all the time. They don't even know what it would be like to have a truly joyful, peaceful, serene, carefree heart. And along with that, most people are constantly recalling past experiences, and it's memories that cause unhappiness to arise. But pay attention that anticipation and memories both arise only within the mind, And the mind is never here and now. It has to be trained to be mindful. Mindfulness is paying attention to here and now, here and now, here and now. When you are focused on here and now and handle what is present, you develop the necessary mindfulness to flow through life with energy. You people that are tired all the time, it's the mind that drains you of energy through stress, through anticipation, through memories, through avoiding, confronting whatever it is that's causing you agitation. So it is the mind anticipating that causes that background of anxiety and insecurity that most people just live in as if that was the way it was meant to be. And these people allow the mind to dwell on past memories, and thus they have this hovering discontent and restlessness and unhappiness, where either they wish that they could return to the past pleasure or fear the past pain and repeating that in the future. So either way, one is not happy, secure, and at peace right now. As Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, I could be seeing peace instead of this. So peace is a choice. It's an option. Happiness is a choice. It's a decision. So restlessness and discontent are really bad habits we allow the mind to perpetrate. Restlessness, discontent, very rajasic. That's the mode of the agitated self. So we're each learning to accept and work in a positive way with present circumstances, demonstrating spiritual strength and mastery and maturity. So we must do our best to make our life work for us, to cultivate a sense of well-being, and to live our life fully, no matter what. It is, after all, what we have requested for our greatest learning and advancement on coming into this Earth school. So why should we complain when we're meeting our own request? So the mind, like anything else in life, needs to be given a purpose. We all need to be assigned a purpose in life. So the purpose of the mind is to remember God. It's to remember the truth. It's to be attached, become attached to the living word, the light and sound currents within us. Attached to the names of the Lord. It will happily chant your mantra, your initiatory tone. It will very happily take that as its purpose. And will give you no more problems. So give the mind the name of God, the names of God. Let it visualize the forms of God. Let it be devoted to the Master, to contemplation, to rumination, to study, to pursue the truth that will set it free. When you do that, all will be well with you. Everything will fall into place. And that's what we need to focus on. We need so much to cultivate those practices and habits that keep us aligned with the direction that we wish to flow in, and to keep company with people who are also on that same path of self-revelation, of self-realization, of living in conscious awareness. We take on the vibrations and the habits of the people that we hang out with. We have a global network now that connects us all so that we share information that you have to sift and discern. If it leads you into fear and controversy and agitates your mind, which immediately you'll begin to feel depressed or sad, your energies will fall. So why pay attention to that when it lowers your vibration? Learn to discern very carefully where you put your attention, because energy follows thought. Energy follows thought. And what you pay attention to pays attention to you. It comes and inhabits your consciousness and your mind. So feed it whatever uplifts and inspires and strengthens and fortifies you as a soul. And act it out before your friends, before your children, before your spouse and your loved ones. Because your life is a message. Your life is your message. It's your gift to God. It's the one thing that you alone have the power to make beautiful. Like St. Teresa said, make your life something beautiful for God. Make it a masterpiece. And pick the things that soften your heart and keep it sweet and humble and simple. I love the simplicity of John Roger and the simplicity of Sai Baba, as they teach. Sai Baba said, do good, be good, see good, hear good. God is the highest good. Be God. And John Roger, be good, be holy. And if you would know the secret of soul transcendence, look for the good and the divine in all people and things, and leave all the rest to God. Look for the good and the divine in all people and things, and leave all the rest to God. Be good. Be holy. Simple. Very simple. When you get a hold of that mind and bring it into alignment with the purpose of the soul, to be the facilitator of disseminating understanding and light and unconditional love and acceptance into creation, into your life, into your human expression. That way, you can serve your true function in this planetary scheme of things to be the light of the world. That light pours into you from your I Am Present, the Spirit, through the soul, into the mind, into the brain, into your nervous system, into every cell of your being, until your whole body is filled with light and your eye is single, not the physical eyes, the spiritual eye, which is located in the etheric body, not the physical body. The Shiva Netra, the eye of Shiva, through which we see as God sees into time and space, is in the spiritual body, the etheric body, your light body, that you are forming, you are creating. You're creating that as you bring that alignment of the soul. And you live in soul consciousness, very consciously and with purpose. And that's how we master the mind. That's how the mind that was in Christ Jesus becomes our mind. It's simply living in illumined awareness, at peace with what is, in acceptance with what is. And just as Jesus took many lifetimes to get to where he was 2,000 years ago, it's taken us many, many lifetimes to get to where we are today. But we're all destined to arrive at, as conscious divine beings. That's our destiny. We can't miss it. It's God's will for every one of us. And within that, we find that it is our innermost will as well. In fact, in highest truth, we've never left that divine place of oneness and union, that divine home of bliss, that divine immortal state. We've never, ever left it. Only the mind bought into time and space and separation and fear. But these are all illusions that we can dissolve by bringing in more and more light, by visualizing that connection from the divine self through the soul into the mind, into the brain, into the nervous system, and flooding throughout the body. Keep visualizing that connection, that flow. And appreciate the peace of God that remains as the only place that we are meant to be. Because the soul is the very embodiment of the peace of God. And that is what we have come to to bring into this flow of events and change, this strange parade that has so captivated our attention. But it's merely a passing show. So let's bless each other with the peace of God. Let's bless our beautiful planet with the peace of God. Let's pray for the awakening of everyone to the peace that's present. And let's bring that precious little mind home to God in that deep peace. And so together we say in Sanskrit, Om Shanti, 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 which is the Sanskrit vibration of peace itself. I bless each one of you with the peace of God. Namaste.